Good afternoon, everybody. So yesterday I preached this gospel, but it was to a mass of First Communion kids. So I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll switch it up. And then I said, you know, I got a good thing going. Let's just go for it. So the gospel, at first, I'm going to kind of focus on the first part of the gospel where Jesus is talking about, actually, I'm going to pull out the gospel, which Deacon rudely put away. Did that on purpose to make life hard on me. I know him. He said, what did he say? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? So, it's obvious that Jesus is talking about his upcoming death. He's on the last evening of his life. In the next afternoon, he will already have expired, and he's entering into his passion. So at first blush, it seems like Jesus is talking about heaven. He's going to die in order to be able to, through his resurrection, to prepare a place so that we can go into heaven. And that is, I think, the main point that Jesus is making. But first of all, because I was trying to figure out how do I make this work with First Communion, so I was kind of cheating, but I think it works. It also takes place, and this is something proper to Jesus, that he'll preach, he'll say things that mean multiple things at the same time. It also takes place in the context of the world's first Mass, the Last Supper, and the world's first Eucharist, which was the Last Supper. And I think one way we can look at this is, you think about what is heaven. Okay, heaven is to be in the presence of God with no limitations, no barriers, no filters, to be in the presence of the Holy Trinity and to be able to see God as he is. And the way that we're able to see God the way that he is, because God is never going to force himself on anybody, that means that we have to be open. It means that we have to be prepared for an encounter. And the souls that are in heaven, it's like they're totally compenetrated with God. He is burning within their hearts. He's before them. It's kind of like the prayer, the breastplate of St. Patrick, you know, Christ before me, Christ above me, Christ behind me, Christ below me, Christ within me, all that. That's what heaven is. It is God who is everywhere and everything. And when we have accepted him and welcomed him in to our hearts, we are so dialed in that God is all in all, to use the language of St. Paul. So it is. And that enables us then to love totally and freely. Like right now, you and I, we tend to hide our defects, right? And that's natural. Why do we hide our defects? Well, we don't want people seeing our dirty laundry. They might think badly about us. Interesting thing in heaven is nobody's going to hide their defects. It'll all hang out. Why? Because God is glorified not only in your perfections that he's going to bring about in you, but he's also glorified through the defects, through even our sinfulness, everything that God has overcome in us. The fact that God is able to triumph over every one of our flaws, our weaknesses, our difficulties, all the things that you and I don't like in this life. When we get to heaven, those are also going to be things that glorify God. Because through that, he brought about sanctity. So this is what heaven's going to be. Now, what does this have to do with the Last Supper and people, kids getting their first communion and whatnot? Well, I honestly think that we can apply these words. In my Father's house are many dwellings. What I have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I think we can apply this as much to our own hearts as we can to heaven. Because the heart is the place where you and I encounter God. The heart is the place where God chooses to dwell. We don't use this terminology a lot anymore, but in the first, say, 1,000 years of Christian history, There were two terms that, well, I'm going to give it to you in three different ways, okay? The word is divinization, which it was also referred to as deification. It's the exact same concept. And if you want to be fancy, you can say it in Greek and say theosis, okay? What does this mean? The literal meaning is you are transformed into God. And the church fathers had no qualms about using that language. And that does not mean that you get to walk across, you know, the Atlantic Ocean. You will probably not have great success doing so if you try. But it means that the more that God dwells within us, the more we are transformed by sanctifying grace to become God-like. Using St. Thomas Aquinas' language, he says that we participate in the divine nature by similitude, which is we become by the degree to which we are like God. And his grace transforms and changes our souls so that we become godly. That's why when you look at saints, like go look up a video of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, for example. Doesn't take very much watching before you realize that lady's different than I am. It's kind of like something different about that one over there. Okay, but in a good way. It's like whatever she does when she prays, it's not the same thing I'm doing, sad to say. Okay, she has been transformed. John Paul II was very much like that. You're around the presence of John Paul II, and I'm not saying like I was, you know, bosom buddies. I wasn't hanging out with him and having a beer, but I've been to many audiences and many masses and whatnot with John Paul II over the years. And, you know, it's just there was this radiance. It's just something going on where you're like, this guy is different, okay? That's because Christ is kind of glowing through these people. So, if Christ is saying, I'm going to prepare a dwelling place, and the dwelling place I'm preparing first and foremost is in your heart. Now, I'm going to pull up because I'm going to prove to you how smart I am, okay? You guys don't realize that I'm a studied person, so I'm going to throw out fancy terms. Okay, Pope Pius XII, remember him? World War II Pope? He's actually one of my faves. I think he should be canonized someday, but he wrote a great encyclical called Mystici Corporis, which just means on the mystical body of Christ. It was about the church. And when I was studying in Rome and doing my license, this is all the stuff that I get excited about, is like indwelling and grace and, you know, deification and all that stuff. But when I was studying in Rome, I kind of stumbled across something in his encyclical. And he said the following. I don't remember how he expressed it, but the issue was this. When you and I are in the state of grace, there's two things that happen. The Holy Trinity dwells in our soul as in a temple. So God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all dwelling within our hearts like they're in a temple as long as we're in the state of grace. Thank God for baptism, right? And then there is sanctifying grace. It's actually two different things. And one way of looking at it is sanctifying grace is the point of union between us, between our human heart and the Trinity, okay? But the Pope said, the indwelling of the Holy Trinity in the human heart, like what hopefully all of you are experiencing right now, because I hope everybody's in the state of grace right now. The indwelling of the Holy Trinity in our human hearts is different only in degree, but not in type from heaven. What does that mean? That means you and I are already living a foretaste of heaven as long as we're in the state of grace. It's just a difference of degree. Heaven is going to be like this indwelling of the Trinity and this exposure to the Trinity in our life all the way. No limits, no barriers, no veils, okay? But you and I are already beginning to experience that right now to the extent that we are holy. We are already participating in what heaven will be. So, what does all this mean? Well, if the indwelling of the Trinity is the preparation for what heaven's going to be, imagine what the Eucharist is, okay? You and I, in this Mass, are going to receive God, Jesus Christ, true God, true man, body, blood, soul, and divinity into our hearts as soon as I decide to shut up and stop preaching to you. Okay? And you're going, okay, well, I've worked. Why are you keep talking if I want to get to the Eucharist, okay? But you and I are going to receive God into our hearts. What better preparation is there? What better way can God come to us and say, I am preparing a place for you? Well, it's not only is he preparing a place for us in heaven, but he is preparing us for that place. That's what happens in the Eucharist. And I think to me, this is a really cool, you know, coincidence of how this all comes together. And so my invitation is going to be this. When we receive Christ in the Eucharist, then know that we are receiving Christ, and whenever Christ is present, the Holy Spirit is present, and so is God the Father. Know that you and I are living moments. We're already on we're on the threshold of heaven. This is a foretaste of heaven. It is a preparation for heaven. And to the extent that I allow God to take over and to transform me from within, to that extent, I will be ready to live this kind of full-out holiness in heaven. So, get ready for heaven by getting ready to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.